Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love radio show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me, I have my two brothers, Terrell Jackson.
What's up?
Taj Jackson.
What's up?
And
Taj, why are you copying me?
Answer him. He wanted to know why you copied him.
Is that what we're going to talk about?
Are you going to answer? No. Okay. We have another guest who... Will you stop drinking Gatorade, son?
You just gave it away.
We have a freshly minted adult, Mr. 18-year-old Royal Jackson with us.
What's
How
up?
You doing, Royal?
What's up, Royal?
I'm well.
Nice.
Royal has the lowest voice.
It's crazy, right? And he doesn't look like he'd have that voice. That's the funny thing. We are live here on the Power of Love show. So if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in our show, we're going to open up the phone lines as well as, well, you can always ask stuff on Twitter. You can comment. You can post things. Of course, we ask that it's related to topic. But if you have any questions, where, Taj, can they post on Twitter?
It's at DDJ Foundation.
Please get closer.
Yeah. Leave him alone.
You should know by now. It's every week.
Hey, I'm over here trying to man the Twitters, okay?
Taj, we haven't even started the show. There's nothing to man at the moment.
Hey, do you want me to be professional or not?
Okay.
Yes, we want you to be professional. That's why I'm saying get closer to the mic.
Do you see what I deal with, Royal? Do you see what I deal with? This is what you got to look forward to.
All right. It's going to be one of those shows, huh?
Yes. Every week.
All right, here we go. Disclaimer. Royal,
do it one more time. I don't think you were close enough.
No, he's... Okay, go ahead, Taj.
Yes, it's at DDJ Foundation.
This is like amateur hour. This is ridiculous. Royal, do you want to read the disclaimer?
No.
All right, the disclaimer. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it. We've learned from it. And we want to share what we've learned and our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. As you can tell, we like to have fun. We like to keep it light. Because we usually...
That's important.
It's huge. I mean, who's going to want it?
It's what we discuss often is heavy.
Yep.
And it's not easy to discuss all the time, but it goes back to last week. It's something that's mandatory to discuss and talk about, and mm-hmm. I'm happy that we kind of open up a platform for that. But it's important to keep it light so you can talk about it.
Exactly. Because if you don't talk about it, then I think it... I mean, I'm not going to say a thing. I know it leads to bigger and more difficult
disaster.
Challenges and disaster, like Terrell just said. So it's important to talk about it. Our approach is to have fun about it. I think that's why it works with brothers and mm-hmm. son/nephew. We try to keep it light. Okay, so...
Call-in number
is... Do you want to
see? Yeah. 323... Mm-hmm. 203-0815.
Okay.
Again, that's 323-203-0815.
Beautiful. So before we get into our main topic, Terrell wants to discuss something, right? Terrell want to bring up something that...
Our weeks. What are we doing our weeks?
Okay, there you go.
Taj, you go first.
The highlight was my nephew's birthday party.
Yeah.
That's to the
really?
Left of me.
I'm
yes.
just kidding.
But... You know, having him turn into an adult, you know, I'm happy because we were there the day of his birth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
Todd, do you still have that footage?
I do. I have Super 8 footage because I shot on film. That's not showing how old you are, but it's just I wanted to be nostalgic. So I shot Super 8 film, black and white, and it was in Oxnard. Remember it very well.
Yeah.
And it was a great day for all of us.
Big day.
That is crazy.
Big day, great
day. Did you feel anything different when you became an uncle?
Because
as a father, I definitely...
Well, of course, yeah.
I definitely felt something immediately.
Well, I knew I was going to be the cool uncle. That's what I knew. Yeah.
But,
and then you were
like Uncle Michael. I knew I was going to be the cool uncle. So
Royal, is he the cool uncle? You can be honest.
He's the geeky uncle.
He's the one I relate to more.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because we're literally identical.
Yes. You consider yourself
It's all
cool?
the computer stuff. Technology.
I guess, yeah.
It's a computer.
It's the technology.
We look at life a little differently than you guys do.
Yeah.
We're more aware of stuff.
Todd Jackson. All right, I'm not going to go. Terrell, do you want to add anything to your week or to the topic?
Yeah, the week, what happened with this week? The week was good. Got the World Series.
Yeah.
Dodgers are in the World Series. They made it to the World Series, and they won the first game. Basketball season, second week, probably.
Second or third.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I always do sports. That's what I like.
Yeah, you do.
So, that's me. So I have sports. Agent didn't have any soccer games.
Okay.
I have school, carnival, and then, of course, I have my nephew's birthday.
All right.
And that's crazy for me because there's a lot of things I remember when he was so much younger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because you can't do half of those things. Like, I used to throw them up in the air all the time and catch them. I don't even think about doing that anymore. You know? But I still remember the first time you and Francis went to, you went down the street to go see a movie. And you left him with me.
Okay.
And I remember I had to change his diaper.
And wow.
Yeah. It seemed like yesterday. It's crazy.
It's scary. Time flies. Royal, do you want to comment anything about your week or your turning 18?
Yeah, I'd probably say that's the highlight of the week.
Turning 18?
Yeah.
How do you feel, Royal?
I feel the same, to be honest, but I don't know. Yeah, I feel the same.
Wow.
So wait, is there a birthday that you're looking forward to, like 21 or something? Or is it, you not really care?
Not really, no.
That was probably it, right?
Yeah, 18. I feel like 18 is the coolest one because that's like a pretty big milestone.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen once you turn 18.
Yeah. And Royal's not into drinking or anything, so the 21 doesn't really.
Yeah, what else can you do at 21?
Well, you don't need, you're an adult. So you no longer need your father's permission for things.
At 18.
At 18.
He's saying at 21.
At 21. What's the difference?
Oh, at 18?
Stay with
the that's what I'm saying. At 21. 18. I'm saying at 18 is the big day.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't really do anything that needs permission anyways.
Well, permission is something you really, at least for the next couple of years, you will need from me. Your mom. You know what it is, though, son? You got to understand. It's always out of love. It's never... We want you happy, but we want you safe and responsible. And you even asked me this a couple of days ago. What age do I think the adult age should be?
I was going to ask you.
And I said
right
I should be... What did I say?
25.
No, I didn't say that old, did I?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, if I did, that's not the answer I would think. I would say at least 21.
I'd say 25.
I think 18.
I would say 25.
I think 18 is still very young.
18 is too young. And,
it's hard to be an adult, especially in today's world. At 18, it could be considered an adult.
And as long as you understand where it's coming from and you understand that, you know, our job is to make sure you're prepared because life's long and you may not have us forever, but while we do have you, you should always listen and respect, and not only just us, but all adults and all, you know, all.
Yeah,
it's huge.
I don't think that goes with the number either.
Yeah, absolutely.
You should always. Your parents are always going to look after the younger ones.
This is something I think for all listeners too. The thing I've really understood as I've gotten older, one of the best things you could do is ask someone you respect that's older than you what advice they would give you. I think that's such a missed opportunity we don't do. Even as me, at my current age, asking an adult that I look up to and respect, give me some advice, they will usually really shine and give you something solid. And it's funny because what they say kind of really, it's in line with what you're kind of going through. It's as if they know where you're at. Mm, so don't just waste that opportunity, people. Ask that person that you really look up to that's older than you, grandparent, a friend, a boss, a mentor,
a brother.
A teacher.
I guess a brother.
I don't really know. I can't verify that. But ask that person, what advice would you have for me? And it will take you quite far. My brothers think that's hysterical, but let's keep the show going. Terrell, what did you want to talk about?
I just want to talk about these two right here. I want to talk
about
now that you're they're 18. There's it's the change from a minor, a youth to an adult.
You know,
he's an adult now. So I thought it would be interesting to discuss life now as an adult. and compared to where we were when we turned 18, what we were doing.
Yeah.
And then also I want to discuss how you feel, TJ, now that you have an 18-year-old, an adult son.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, leading up to this point, preparing him for these moments, you know, what went into it and mm-hmm. how you feel and how you feel about Royal right now and the lessons and all that. But you've already discussed a little bit that, and it's not nothing against Royal, but the adult age should be around, you said 25?
I think it should be 21 or older. I think 21 are really, to pick a random number, I think it should be like 22 or 23.
Yeah, I agree.
I just think kids are still too young. And
I'm curious to hear what the listeners to say about that, because I know some of them had to grow up earlier, like,
yeah.
you know what I mean, in terms of that. So I think maturity kind of fluctuates, but I think for standard,
yeah.
I think 25 is a good number.
Okay, a few things, pause. Are you saying that now because you're older now and you can look back? Would you have felt the same when we were 18?
I did. I didn't know.
Do you think it was too young then? Or do you feel that things have changed so much that now you need to kind of move that number up?
I think it's both. Because when I was 18, I felt I was prepared and ready. And it was probably because we lost mom. I felt mm-hmm. like, what else? That's the biggest lesson I'm going to get. That's the hardest thing I've had to overcome. But I also think kids these days need more help. I'm not trying to knock kids these days. I just think there's so many influences and so many distractions that their process of growing up is not as... They're not as prepared.
As they should be.
No.
Because they did change, I think, I don't know where else, but at least here in California, I know they changed the driving situation as far as getting your permit or your driver's license?
Changed a bit of it. They've basically said, like, Roy, when you first became a driver, you couldn't drive by yourself. There was a curfew, and then he couldn't drive any other minor mm-hmm. in the car for the first six months.
So that wasn't always a rule?
No. So when I turned 16, I could drive whenever I want and take whoever I wanted. So that there's slow things changed. Like that are good. You know, I think it's really good. But I still think all these ages are still a little young, and I think we're going to be moving forward to slowly increasing. I don't know if the adult age will ever increase, but I think the restrictions on driving and certain things will just get more restricted, which I think it should.
It's crazy to think about, like right now I can like move out or like drop out of school or like any of my when I look at it, like many of my friends, like I can't see any of them like moving out and like living on their own at 18.
Yes, son, but you're saying because they're not prepared or because the mentality...
Well, we don't have any skills that would help us survive in our own house.
Taj kind of said he kind of felt that way as an 18, that he wasn't right.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that way when I was 18, but it's good that you feel that way. It's good.
I told you,
some of my friends don't know how to work a stove. Like,
we're more aware.
Yeah, it's a good thing that you know that, because most kids your age are like, I don't need you. I could do this on my own. So I'm very pleased to hear that you recognize that you're not ready, because truthfully, you're not. And I don't think 95% of 18-year-olds aren't ready.
I looked at it until I was like 25, 26, 27, was I really starting to really understand things. Like, because I think it was brother who was like 20, I was 21. Ish, so it was after all that, and then the trial for mom's death and all that stuff. That was all before I was 25.
Okay, so one of the things we're going to discuss. Did you want to talk about the other subtopic, or not really?
We can.
Okay, I think we should save it. That's okay.
Save it, fellas.
Yeah, we're going to save it. It's a good one, but we're going to save it. But one of the things I want to discuss is kind of if you knew then what you know now, what would you tell yourself,
your younger self,
as well as do you kind of regrets? Do you have regrets?
What would you do differently?
And the purpose of this is to kind of, I think a lot of times people think they have serious regrets and that they screwed up or they made mistakes. And my take on this is, okay, this is the point. I always tell people, and I've always explained that me not going to college as an 18-year-old is something Uncle Michael really pushed for me to do. I regret not doing that. And then I was actually out to eat with a high school friend of mine who I haven't seen in 20 years yesterday, last night.
Hmm.
And we were talking about that. You know, we were talking about, you know, 3T and in the late 90s. And he was like, you know, baseball, you were so good, da-da-da. And he says, do you have any regrets? And I said, I think my only regret would be not going straight to Wharton, because that's where I got accepted and was excited to go. And he says, so why didn't you go? And I said, well, you know, my brothers and I, we were doing arenas in Europe, and it was pretty hard. And he goes, let me stop you there. He goes, that's an incredible experience. There's nothing to regret about that. He goes, so if you're thinking of it as a regret, you didn't make a bad decision. He goes, first of all, I don't know anyone who wouldn't have decided that way, because we'd all love to. And he's a successful guy who went to a top school himself. And he's like, we would have, there's thousands. I would have traded places with you. And he said, you know, and it was just really the first time someone like stopped me in my track to say, don't live with that. You know, that's not a real regret. And it was cool to hear. Although, I mean, I agree with him, but it's still a little bit there. But it was cool to hear that, you know, and it's always refreshing. So that's the point I wanted to make, is that what regrets do you have, and do you really regret it? Is it something that maybe you're just being hard on yourself? Is it something that's holding you back, thinking that I screwed up and now my life can't be the same? It's pretty much, how can you accept what happened and see the benefits of what happened? Because as me not going to school at 18, I was able to travel the world, see different cultures, you know, have fun with my brothers, experiences that I'll never, you know, that will never leave me.
Yeah.
Some great moments with my brothers and Louie and Spelta and stuff like that. So that's what our show is. If you want to call in and talk about what you regret, quote unquote regret, or even we have a freshly minted 18-year-old right here, what advice would you give him if you knew then what I know now? That's what we're here for, okay? The number to call in is 323-203-0815. Todd is on Twitter. Again, the Twitter handle is DDJ Foundation. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I do have an article I'm prepared before we get these phone calls in. One of the first things people say in this article, if I knew then what I know now, one of the first advice people would say is, I would find the right job fit. What's your guys' opinion on the importance of finding the right job fit?
The right job fit?
Yes.
That's a lot of pressure in the beginning. Like, I think some people really evolve and they don't really know what they want to do, and they try a bunch of things and then they kind of settle into something. So
I think one thing,
he's in class.
It's good. I like that. But one,
I like it too.
One thing, Royal was just raising his hand. He wanted to chime. Go ahead, Royal.
This is about jobs. This is about jobs, right?
Yeah, jobs.
Okay, so my dad, I think all of you guys know I'm really into like astronomy and like astrophysics and stuff like that. And I was going to go to school for that. Like, that was going to be my major. Then I thought, like, what, like, can I do with a PhD in astronomy besides NASA and, like, teaching it? And I switched majors for that reason, because of computer science has such, like, a more, like, broad list of jobs that it can have. But, like, I'm not nearly as into computer science as I am astronomy. So, like, I'm still, like, kind of deciding, but I'm leaning more towards computer science. In fact, it has more, like...
More options,
even though I don't love it as much as astronomy.
Now, here's something. The old me would have said, you 1,000% have to follow your heart, or you're not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
The new me says it's very important to follow your heart, but what are you great at? And I don't know if that's right, but I'm playing in that area. There's a really respectable tech giant who said, forget what you're passionate about. Don't go. This was his commencement speech at a university. I don't care what you're passionate about. What are you good at? That's what you need to do.
Really?
Yes. And it was really interesting to me, because it was, first of all, he said what you're good at kind of usually relates to what you like, because we all want to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be good at something. It's like if you're an American, if you want to be a singer and you go on American Idol, you could be as passionate. And that was his point. I want to be Russell Wilson, quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said a similar thing. It's like he wanted to be a rock star. That's all he wanted to be.
Okay.
But he couldn't sing a lick.
Like Michael Jordan with baseball.
He couldn't sing a lick. So it wouldn't have been smart for him to really continue down that path when he was really good and it came natural for him to throw a ball.
Yeah.
So, but he wasn't the one. I'll find the tech giant. But what's your guys' opinion on that? Because that was a little.
Oh, I think it takes some common sense. You know,
you got to find that middle ground.
Yeah, you got to. It's a fine line. I mean, you can't be passionate about something you're horrible at.
Yeah.
And expect you to be successful in it.
Yeah.
Unless you find a new pathway and you become, quote unquote, the joke.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're successful because people are laughing at you. I don't think that's what you really want. But I think you go after, you know, you only get one life. You have to live it the way you want to live it. And you have to follow your dreams. But at the same time, you have to be realistic with yourself.
Mm.
You know, you can't say, I want to do this in 2 years and expect to be on top of the world it's without working for it, you know?
Yeah.
I understand that passion. Don't follow. Because at first, when you were saying that, I disagree. But
yeah.
Then when you gave that example, it makes sense. You know, you can't be... Unfortunately, you can't be 3 feet tall and play pro basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But
I think you said it right, though, Tara. I think that realistic's the word. But basically, bro, I've always told you, you know, follow your heart to this. But at the same time, you got to follow what you're good at, too. You know, what you're naturally good at. So you have time, though. You're just starting college, and you're just now seeing what options are. And that's one thing I do like about the college system. It gives you a couple years to figure it out. And this is for everyone. If you want to change, change. You're not stuck to
mm-hmm.
it. You know, and I think a lot of people think, oh, I already made the decision. You just want to change, change.
I can talk on that because I came to that crossroads about a year ago with directing.
Yeah.
Directing is something I've always been extremely passionate about, and something that I shared with Uncle Michael in terms of the passion about. But photography was something I was naturally good at, and I would always take pictures and people go, oh, wow, that's a great picture. And it wasn't something that I was extremely passionate about, but I was good at it, really good at it. And it was something that really came natural to me. And it wasn't until I really started directing and being like, I don't really...
You don't know if it's
for if it's the right fit for me. And it was one of those things I had already told everyone that I was going to be a director. And it was like, well, I made that decision. I was like, well, you know what? I'm changing right now to photography because it's something I'm actually really good at without mm-hmm. kind of, I hate to say it, but like we were born into music. So music comes kind of second nature to us in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. That's how photography feels like that to me in a way. And it's like, that's the thing for me. It's like, so I agree with that. Do something that you're good at as well, because then you can, now I'm really passionate about photography because I'm actually learning about it and I'm actually challenging myself even more. But it was one of those things that I would just, it was off and on, but I was always taking pictures.
Yeah, I'll find out who it was, but it was a very powerful little speech.
Yeah.
All right, so number two, another thing that, if you knew then what you know now, this is advice for the article's college graduates, but I think it applies to really anyone,
mm-hmm.
not just college graduates. But advice number two, I would seek out a mentor. And this mm-hmm. is kind of parlays to what I was discussing earlier about just, I don't care what age you are, ask someone, what would you teach me? What would you tell me? I think that goes a long way because you know, every time I've done it, it seems to be so in line with what I'm going through. You know, if a close friend is in some type of issue or family members, whatever the problem is, it seems to speak directly to it. So find that person that you look up to, that you have the utmost respect for, and simply take them out to eat. Go to their place, you know, meet up with them and said, if you could tell me something as a 30 whatever you are person or 40 whatever age you are, what would you tell me? And I guarantee you'll get some good advice. Guys, you got it?
I agree with that. I think there's that's on several levels. Mentors, you can have different kinds. You could have your role models, and fortunately for us, you know, Uncle Michael was one for us, and we actually had the luck and the blessings of being related to him so we could talk to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I'm just going to use sports again. But some kid may love Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson or LeBron James. And, yeah, you may not be able to talk to them and ask them questions or have that connection with them, but you can study that person. And there's a lot of things that, you know, quotes, especially now with the internet nowadays, you can study things that they've said. You can study how they prepared for games or for practices, word of encouragement. Just different things that they give back, and you can study that and learn from them in that way. But then also, again, you know, your parents, your family, or anyone that you can look up to, that you can talk to directly, can help.
Help, Taj, any other?
No, I think that with mentors, you just have to find the right one, too, because sometimes you might find someone that you might kind of, I want to say the word discourage you, kind of, in a way. They've tried it, didn't work out really for them, something similar, and they kind of will warn you against it, and that's the wrong kind of mentor in that way, you know, because it was so hard for them that they didn't make it, and now they're kind of, you know, giving you bad advice in that way. So it's finding the right one.
But I also have to say, and this doesn't go with us, it's just at the same time, there is a fine line, because everyone is different. Everyone has a different situation. So keep in mind, what works for them may not work for you. You know, and this is something I've always done in my life. I've taken, you know, advice from people. I've taken what I wanted from them. You know, whether it was a pitching coach, whatever, I may have agreed with the way that, you know, maybe he his delivery or something, but maybe, I don't know. Just take what you want from someone and apply it, and just gather the best. It's almost like a compilation of greatest hits.
Take what resonates.
Yeah, you take the hits off the greatest albums, and you form your own.
Okay, forming your own. Here's another. I would think long term. This is another one of the, if I knew then what I know now. I think a lot of us, I didn't really have this issue.
I didn't either. I always thought long term.
Royal, do you? Do you struggle with this? Do you think long term enough?
And when we say long term, we're talking
in life. I think it's beyond
10, 15, 20 years ahead.
I would say, yeah, 10, 15, 20 years ahead. Do you ever? You do? Okay, good.
28, 38.
You imagine where
I don't think, like, anything I'm doing now is going to affect me at, like, 28.
What do you mean?
Like, not really doing anything, like, now that's, like, going to affect me
but
at 28.
But where do you think of yourself, and do you even think that far?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I definitely do, but I don't, like I said, I haven't made a decision that's going to, you know.
That's going to ruin your entire future.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that, though, son. You gotta. I never thought like that, actually. I was actually different than you. I always thought what I do now affects my whole line. Like, every decision and choice I make ripples into the next set of questions and points.
Well, it's not necessarily the fact that, like, I did this. Like, I don't think, oh, I did this and I'm gonna be a bum at, like, 28. Like, I don't think that. Like, I always know, like, what the mistake is. Like, it can always be fixed no matter what.
Okay.
So, like,
you feel that everything's reversible.
Like, feel like, all right, I made the mistake, my life is, like, ruined. Like, everything's always, like, every effect has a positive and equal, an opposite, like, effect, which is, like, Newton's first law, or one of his laws.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. Todd, what do you think?
No.
You understand what he's trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, there are certain things that are irreversible, like, you know, killing someone, stuff like that.
Crimes.
Yeah, crimes and stuff. But yeah, if it's just life lessons, I mean, I look back at my life and everything that kind of was a negative was turned into kind of a positive, because I like who I am now, and I wouldn't have grown to who I am now if I wouldn't have gone
through
those.
Where were you at 18?
Where was
I? Is that LMU?
Yeah, I was starting LMU, yeah.
Fresh in the pedal days.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, so I was totally, yeah.
But also depends how you take it, too. Like, if you say, all right, I made the mistake, it's time to
learn from it.
It's time to get up and, like, just, like, start, like, fixing it. Or if you just, like, sulk and, like, all right, I made the mistake, like, it's over, then, like, yeah, that mistake will, like, affect you. But, like, if you do something about it, then in a few years or, like, 10 years, how, like, long it may be, you might even be glad that, like, you made that mistake, because you won't be where you are now without that mistake.
Todd, is there any mistakes that you've made that you regret?
That I regret?
Or that you wish you didn't make?
The only one is honestly, there's a few, but the one that is permanent is the one just with mom.
Yeah,
that's the only one, is that I wish I would have talked to her longer when she called, mm-hmm. right before she called, just to let her, you know, me know that she was staying over.
But you know what, Taj, doesn't that kind of change, didn't that change how you were? Like how your personality probably changed. So now when someone calls you, and
actually,
like,
I keep
all the time in the world.
Well, that time. And I keep people's voicemails now. I do. Yeah. Like I have a bunch of voicemails from different people. Just, you know, I'm scared to delete everyone's voicemail. Like, it's weird.
You hold on to everything.
Yeah.
Chad, do you have any mistakes or regrets or anything?
I don't know if they're mistakes, and I don't know if they're regrets. I think they're just wishes. But I don't. It's like you. I don't think it would have been possible to have the life that I have now. But of course, it's baseball for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had Uncle Jackie telling me to do both. I had Pops telling me to do both, and I know why I decided to pursue music.
Yeah,
you know, it's something I loved. But it was also something I can do with you guys.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Playing baseball, I would have been on my own, and it would have just been different. But that was definitely one thing that I regret, especially now that the World Series is on.
I know,
and I because I'm left-handed too. It's very rare that you
how do you pitches. Deal with that, Terrell?
It eats at me a little bit because
I struggle with it too.
I mean, you never know, but I felt like I had a really good shot of making it.
Yeah.
Because I was
you're a commodity. You were left-handed.
I was
pitcher.
Lefty. And it's like I said, they're very rare, you know. And I was pretty decent, and I didn't really pursue it. I didn't really take it as serious as I would have had that been
the only
what I wanted to do. I didn't really ever feel like I really want to play baseball, because I was quite young when I said I want to do music. So baseball was just, and I remember mom saying, "Do you want to play baseball? Or do you want to do music?" Because it was right when we were starting high school. I was,
yeah.
So it was either, you know, do you want to go to Montclair or do you want to go to Notre Dame or something? And because the baseball program wasn't as good, obviously, back then. But all of my friends that I grew up playing baseball were going to those types of schools where it was taken seriously.
Yeah.
And I chose Buckley.
Yeah, I want to come back to that. But we have a phone call, so let's answer the phone call. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Ebony.
How are you, Ebony?
Ebony.
I'm doing fine. How about you?
we're doing well. What do you have for us, Ebony?
Yeah, you're pretty much talking about regrets.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of hard for me to say. I feel like, before my dad passed, I feel like, the day before he died, I actually spoke to him on the phone. It was New Year's Day of 2015.
Okay.
And, I mean, he sounded all right, but I could tell he was going through something. He was he just finished dialysis, mm-hmm. and I did ask if he wanted me to come. He said, no, I'll be fine, and all that, but... If I had known, that would be the last time I spoke to him. I mean,
Yeah. And Ebony,
see, that's tough because there's no way of knowing that, and you obviously didn't know that. And one thing for me, I don't want you to do is carry on that guilt. You know, you had no way of knowing.
Yeah, and when I hear your story, Ebony, I think of Taj. You know,
yeah.
Because Taj can probably completely relate to that. And Terrell, you say it exactly right. Don't carry that guilt. You had no way of knowing. And there's a reason why I think your father said he felt fine, or, you know, he was okay.
I don't think your father would want you to carry that guilt either. That's how I always look at it with my mom, is, you know, because, I mean, I was trying to rush her off because she woke me up. So I was tired. I was like, yeah, okay, you know, like, in that way, like, that was my mannerism, like, okay, all right mom, you know, kind of thing. And it's like that's what I have to live with, but at the same time I also know the relationship I have with my mom, and I know that she wouldn't want me to be carrying that.
Ebony, what do you do for a living?
I am a substitute teacher.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. I was just wondering because, you know, life is strange in that way, you know, and you're in a position where you get to influence a lot of kids and a lot of people, and you just you got to take your experience with that situation and just preach it, you know, and inform people that to follow, you know, your gut, or to whenever this happens, you know, you make sure you do this. Take advantage of your position. That's mm-hmm. that's the point of me saying that is, you know, because life's hard and we all go through different things. And my son's right here. He's 18 years old. He's been on this world in this on this planet for 18 years. But there's so much he doesn't know. And, you know, if he walked into a classroom and you were his substitute teacher, as a parent, that's what I want you to do is not just, you know, teach him the math formulas or whatever subject, but whatever mm-hmm. golden nuggets you have in life to relay to my son. So that would be my advice, is to share your story, share your point of view, because someone may is either going through that or they may come across that you know that decision. But you're not alone, and
don't carry that guilt.
Don't carry that guilt.
Mm-mm. All right, thank you.
All right, Ebony, thank you so much for the sharing. Phone call, and thanks for always supporting us. Okay.
No problem. Yeah, thanks. And hi, Royal.
Hi. I love it. He's smiling. I see every single tooth in his mouth right now, Ebony. So all good. Thank you so much, Ebony. And have a good day. Okay.
I love you guys. Thank you.
Bye. Too. All right. Yes, we're going to take one more phone call. Okay. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, my name's Carol.
Hi.
And my regret is when I was younger, mm-hmm. I wish I would have taken care of my parents better, and I wish I would have been patient with them. And then when my father had Alzheimer's, I wasn't very patient, and I kind of regret that, and mm-hmm. it was so sad for me and everything.
Carol,
so after he...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
After he passed away, you know, I had my mom and I enjoyed her as much as I could and everything until she got sick and everything. But even when she got sick, there was still things I could enjoy about her because she still knew me, you know, and everything. So that was really helpful. And then last year my mom passed, and then I before she passed, you know, I spent a lot of time with her in a board and care home, and it was so good that she still knew me.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was just so wonderful.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if people still have their parents, enjoy them as much as they can, because we don't know how long we're going to have them for.
I love that, Carol. I love that. And thank you so much for sharing that.
That's so true.
It's so true, but it's something that people don't understand it, that much, you know, and it's so true. And it's always good to hear someone who's experienced the loss of a parent to say that and be reminded.
Yeah, and I'm just so grateful to have a job, because it's really helped me a lot, and I've had a job for 38 years.
Mm. Oh, wow. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, I work at a college, but and I worked in the cafeteria, and it was at Pierce College. So I'm the operator at Pierce College and everything.
Oh, cool. That's so awesome. Carol's your name, right?
Yeah, Carol. Yes.
Cool.
From Encino.
All right, Carol. Well, thank you so much for chiming
thank
in.
Thank you so much,
and,
Carol.
And we really appreciate your phone call, okay? And thanks for that message of enjoy your parents, because that's mm-hmm. 100% true.
Yeah, because I don't have them anymore, so I'm okay. So anyways, stay cool in this heat wave.
That's right, Carol. We will. You do the same, okay?
Yeah, you too, Carol.
Thank you for being there.
All right. Thank you, Carol.
Thanks, Carol.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Sweet.
That's
some phone calls.
Yeah, very good. And that's something that bothers me, because what she said is right on the nose. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to appreciate your parents while they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we've lost our mother. And I've seen friends, and I've seen other people be disrespectful towards their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have no idea what it's like to lose one. And you can say it and they can hear it, but that's the difference of you hope they really take your advice on that, because it's really difficult when you lose your parents.
Very difficult. The most difficult thing I've had to go mm-hmm. through, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Terrell, one thing, we had two good phone calls and another is coming through, but I wanted to respond to what you were saying about how you, with baseball,
mm-hmm.
how every now and then, especially with the World Series on right now, you kind of think about
I think about
what if.
It's the what if. It's the do-over. I don't know if I would I don't know if I would trade it in. Looking back, because of the things that I went through in the music industry.
This is my question to you, because I actually go through a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just lately, I've been able to kind of overcome, get through that.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is, how do you, when you go through those what ifs, when they're playing really loud in your head, mm-hmm. what if I were to pursue this? What if I did this? How do you put those in check? How do you...
It's quite easy.
Reduce, what do you do?
I mean, is there a time machine?
No. Okay, so you say no. You
can't do it.
So that's it.
That's it. You can't. It's not going to change.
It's even easier than that, guys.
I can't piss.
You look at your kids, and you wouldn't have your kids.
That's what I was going to say. For me, that's I don't say the what if, because I put a lot of time into big decisions. Yeah. For me, it's like I wouldn't have probably met Francis, and I wouldn't have had him.
No, it wouldn't. The circumstances would have been different.
Would have been different.
Well, life would have been different.
Yeah.
Your whole life are choices. So you make choices, and every choice you make leads you to the next step.
Okay.
So
that's a big decision that like completely altered your life. Like if you played like baseball, you might not even live in like LA or something.
Yeah,
I might have lived in Chicago.
And then like met like something like somebody completely like different, like mm-hmm. had a new circle of friends or something like that.
So. Very true.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's something that I'm not completely great at overcoming, because I'm one of those guys who thinks that I still would have figured a way out, but. When it comes down to it, that's what it is.
And like I said, I don't think it's really a regret. It's just one of those things, what if. It's more of a what if than a regret. Because I don't regret anything that my music stuff that I do with you guys and the path we took. I mean, some great moments, you know.
Incredible moments.
Very great moments in touring, you know. So I don't regret any of that. It's just a more of a what if anything.
If I knew then what I know now. Ready? Here's the last one I'm going to share from the article. I would make every room a classroom. Here's a quote from it. I would have better understood the value of strategic networking and making every room I enter a classroom. Earlier in our career, it is difficult to understand how every relationship we develop matters, so we may not stay in touch or communicate well with those in our circle of influence. But these relationships can prove quite valuable in our professions as our careers evolve. Okay, it's important to cultivate our relationships. Obviously, that quote is very career-centric, very focused on your job and stuff, but I think it goes for everything. I think going into a room, if you can handle yourself better, come off with good energy, talk to people, be friendly, I think your life will be infinitely stronger and more, you know, just better.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just inspiration and the energy in there. If you're around people that are passionate about the same things you are, or successful in whatever field they're doing, just speaking to them and share that.
Okay, let me take us three, because we're not the most outspoken people. We're actually pretty shy. Some are more shy than the others. But let's just say I can rewind back and at 16, give you guys the ability to talk to people freely with great energy. Every single time you walked into a room,
mm-hmm.
your connections, and not only your connections, your relationships, whether it could be you could have found a new dentist, you could have found a best friend, you could have found so many things to really add value to your life. And that's why I like this one, because I never really thought of it that way. But when you enter a room, I have my 18-year-old here, my advice. When you're not my advice, the article's advice. When you enter a room, take advantage of the fact that you're intersecting with other people and you have the opportunity to make some really strong relationships. It may not be your wife, it may not be your best friend, but it could be a guy that's sharing a story and has an incredible piece of golden nugget that's going to carry on in your life. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool too, because you never know who's going to have an impact in your life.
Never.
And it could be someone that you meet for 15 minutes and never see again in your life, and they can just give you a random quote, a random story, and you can carry that for the rest of your life. And I have so many people that have come into my life like that. Mm-hmm. And I often want to, and I mentioned this on the show, like if I go somewhere and I'm sitting alone and I see someone sitting alone, I'm tempted to want to sit with
that
person.
Do you do that?
I've never. I want to, but I don't want them to
starting
be like,
now.
Leave me alone, you know? Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
You have to do it. It reminds me of in Uncle Michael's video, the way you make me feel with the old man. I mean, that's where my memory kind of ends, but I know he said something to inspire Uncle Michael to get the girl. What's the exact setup for that trail?
I think he's walking, he's talking about the girl, right?
Yeah. And I don't know.
I love that, man.
I can see it, but I don't know the dialogue. Whistlings.
I know. I don't know the dialogue.
Okay, well, basically, we're probably going to get slack from it from our listeners.
They're going to look it up.
Basically, the setup is obviously you don't know who's going to give you that nugget. So go into every setting with some energy and happiness. Bring some light. And here's another added aspect. You may change someone else's life. You mm-hmm. may pick them up. You may inspire them to do something, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's something that I kind of wish I would have done 20 years ago for sure. I would have made every room a classroom and tried to you know, develop relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Todd Terrell, and Royal, we have only a couple minutes left. Is there anything you want to add, son, since you're the one who turned 18? Is there anything you want to add?
Did you
learn
anything today, Royal?
Yeah, I learned a few. You always learn something new every day.
Yeah?
Yeah. Even though you forget 10,000 things every day as well.
Is that a fact or something?
That is a fact.
10,000, that seems a little high.
That's an average. You forget a lot more.
Well, I don't have the best memory, but yeah. Okay. Taj, Terrell, anything you guys want to add?
Taj?
No. I love this topic. I love that idea of regret, and I don't really have any regrets. I really don't, because I, as I said before, I really like who I am now. So,
okay.
Well, for me, it's a great topic.
Yeah,
I thought. Roy, once again, congratulations on
Thank
18.
Thank you.
But another thing is that for those listening and that are older than 18, mm-hmm. way older, it's not too late.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, you can look back at 18 and I would have done this and I would have done that. And this almost goes back to point one with the passion and good at, you know, I'm passionate about music. This sounds arrogant, but I felt I was good at baseball. And the thing is I chose music, and the beauty of it is I was still able to play baseball. You're still able to do both. You're still able, Royal, to do astronomy and computer science. And maybe it'll be two other things. One may not be your profession, you know. I do both. I play sports. I do music. I do whatever my heart desires, whatever I want to do. So it's not really choosing one and letting the other go. You're able to do both. Maybe not at a professional level or as high a level as you would like it to be, but choosing one doesn't mean you have to get rid of the other.
I love that. I talking about. Choosing one and getting rid of the other. I think for our listeners, everyone out there, don't think of, if you're living with guilt on which way you should have went, should you have gotten trained, should you have made that move to this city or that city, don't think that way. Don't live with guilt. Don't let yourself get bogged down by thinking what if or I should have done that. Life is life. What makes life so great is the fact that we experience things. And you made the decision for a reason. Let it go. Learn, take the lesson, what you've learned out of making that decision, and move on. And if it's one of those, like in Ebony and Taj's situation, where it's really a really huge decision that you regret, share that lesson. You know, and that's my biggest advice is I can understand how that's one that is a regret, but share that, you know, tell that person. If you see someone in the corner that's going through something, talk to them, see what it is. If someone shares to you that their mother's sick or this person, you know, I was kind of rude to this, or my mother annoys me, I'm not going to talk to her, share your story, you know, and make a difference in the world. But I just want to say, Roy, I love you, man. Life is not easy. At 18 years old, there's so much I wish I knew then that I know now. And I hope the show, I mean, I always tell you, I'm always on you, Royal. But I hope the show brought something to you and to our listeners. Taj, Terrell, I love you guys. Anything else you guys want to tell your freshly minted 18-year-old?
Yes, I love you too. And Roy, I love you. Taj, working on it. No, just kidding. I love you too. The thing is that the beauty of life is every day we're given another chance, another opportunity to make choices and decisions. Don't feel that it's too late. You know, don't live with the guilt. if you want to make a move that you felt you could have done 18 years ago,
do it now.
Maybe you can do it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's never too late.
You can do it.
Don't make today be something you look back 18 years later.
Life's too short and valuable to live with that. So let it go. All right, that's it. That's our show. We will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. We want to thank each and every one of you for your support. And that's pretty much it. Have a great rest of your week. Much love.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.